Welcome to the Witchy Spellcast. I'm Kara, joined by Saya and Rowan, your mystical guides. Whether you're a seasoned witch or a curious seeker, join us to explore spellcraft, herbal remedies, and more. Let's embrace the enchantment, unlock secrets, and discover the magic within. Your magical journey starts here. Welcome back, casters, to another episode of the Witchy Spellcast. Today it is just Rowan and I. Saya's going to be out for, I think, the next two episodes for personal reasons, and I'll let her discuss that when she gets back if she wants to.
Yeah.
Sound good? Yeah.
I think, that it feels like a more...
That's a her
personal
thing.
Issue, I guess.
Yeah. Not something for us to discuss. But today...
So if she wants to talk about that, she can talk about that when she comes back?
Absolutely.
Today
we're going to talk about the spring equinox and a couple of other little holidays and ways that you can use the spring equinox to your benefit. If you don't want to celebrate it as a holiday, if you just want to use the energy of it, I guess, would be the way to put it. Maybe?
Be able to use the energy of the sun coming back to being...
Reborn,
taking up, the days being longer, nights starting to get shorter. Yes. And reaching that point of... Okay, we're equal now. The sun is going to start taking over now. Less darkness. Yep.
And when we're recording this, daylight savings time is tomorrow, by the way. So we lose an hour of sleep, but it means that it's not going to get as dark as soon. So I'm happy about that.
Same.
All right.
Though that also means that I can be lazier when I get home and wait longer to take my dog on her walk.
Well, I mean...
Because I have a bad habit of when the days are longer and it stays light out longer, just waiting way too long before I take her on her walks.
I feel that. It is pouring down the rain here today, and... I just don't want to take Knox for a rock. I don't want to take Knox out. He loves it, because he's husky. He likes to cook because it got cold again. And all this week, it felt so good out. It felt like spring. It was so warm. And today I wake up freezing my butt off because we didn't have the heater turned on because it was nice yesterday. And freezing my butt off. It is pouring down the rain, and my mom told me this morning that it's supposed to snow tonight.
We have a thing about it's supposed to snow tomorrow, and yeah. I'm not excited.
I'm not either. I'm so ready for it to be over because,
it hasn't been necessarily that cold or that harsh of a winter. It's just been very bleh.
It's been a very draining winter.
Yeah.
The
seasonal depression has been very real.
Yeah. So I think I am very much welcoming the energy of the spring equinox, which is on the 19th at 11:04 p.m. exactly.
Ooh.
But I looked up the exact time. So it's March 19th at exactly 11:09 p.m. is when the spring equinox technically is. So you could celebrate it on the 19th or you can celebrate it on the 20th. Really up to you. Personally, I would kind of do both days in the middle, might as well, right? You'll still feel that
started energy at noon on the first day and ended at noon the next day.
Right. Just sleep through half of it.
Fine,
but
I sleep through most of my life anyway.
Same.
Naps are my best friend.
Right. So, I think the exactly 11:04 p.m. kind of thing is because the spring equinox, if we're looking at it, astrologically, the spring equinox is the same exact time that Aries hits the sun. Like, the sun hits Aries, 0 degrees. So, at 11:04 p.m. on the 19th is probably when the sun finally hits 0 degrees Aries.
Is exactly when the sun lines up with it.
That would be my... Yeah, that's the only thing that I can think of why it would be that precise of a time. Because when we enter spring, we enter Aries season, and next week is our astrology for spring. So we'll talk more about Aries next week, the next episode. But today...
since we do this every two weeks.
Yeah, every 2 weeks. So today we're going to talk about the spring equinox, Astara, which is the more Celtic, pagan kind of word for it. Some people use it interchangeably. Some people prefer just spring equinox. Some people prefer it as Astara.
And yes, it is understood that the name for Easter originated from the name Ostara.
Yeah, it actually, there's that, but it also could be the goddess who is the main patron goddess for Ostara, which is, I looked up how to pronounce this and I completely forgot. Euster, I think, but it's spelled very similar to Easter, and that's where they think that it. That's the originate, like, for Easter. But it's a German goddess, and it's, I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Euster. It's like E-O-S-T. Oh my goodness. Hold on. E-O-S-T-R-E is, no, it's not Euster, it's Jouster.
Jouster?
Yeah. Yeah. Jouster. I think I've never been able to pronounce that one. I've known it. I know it. I like see it, but I can never pronounce that one. My child.
Listeners, if you want to listeners, if you want to let us know how to pronounce it, by all means.
According to Google, the Google pronunciation thingy is
Google text-to-speech.
Yeah. This is Jouster, I think. Anyways. But that is the thought. I was looking at that as well. So. And then you saw something about a Hindu celebration?
I did a very rapid Google search right before we got on here for different spring holidays. And one of the first ones that I came across is a Hindu celebration. I'm probably entirely going to butcher the name of it. It's either Holi or Holi. H-O-L-I.
I would say Holi, but I don't know.
So, it's also known as the Festival of Colors. That is in the second sentence.
So I was right.
You were right. So the legend with it is the god Krishna and his wife Radhal, R-A-D-H-A. To fully understand it, you need to know that Krishna has blue skin. So part of the legend is that Krishna fell in love with Radha. But he was worried about the difference in their skin colors being a problem. So he went to his mother about his concern, and she told him to go to her and ask her to paint her face any color that she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And doing this made him less self-conscious about their skin color difference.
Aww.
So So to celebrate, Hindus might go to temple or large areas and throw powdered dye at one another, commonly wearing white so that it shows off the colors more. People might have seen similar things with, like, Color Run, but this is more direct. Like, this is actually for a holiday. It's not just a marathon thing.
Yeah. It's actually really beautiful. Like, I've seen, like, a couple, like, videos of it and everything.
It's really pretty.
It's beautiful. It's such a beautiful little celebration. I love it. I didn't realize that it was for spring, though.
Yeah.
Like, I knew of it, but I didn't know when it was celebrated. It makes sense because of the colors and everything.
Colors coming back. It's love with two gods celebrating their differences and just coming together and having a good time.
I love it.
So, I don't think I would want to actually be a part of something like that, because I just imagine all the powdered dust up my nose.
That's probably not good for the sinuses. It's
probably not good for the sinuses. Like, beautiful day, everything's fun, you get home and you blow your nose and just rainbow.
Like, after drawing class, whenever you come home from... I came home from drawing class, I would sneeze or blow my nose, and it was just charcoal or pastels up my nose.
I mean, I already have... I have that sort of issue with work right now, because I work in a embroidery factory, so I get home... and I blow my nose, and there's just fuzz from turning all the threads up my nose.
That's always fun. So, the more known pagan holiday for the spring equinox is Ostara. It was originally, I think, Germanic, and then it was adopted by the Celts. I know for sure the goddess that is the patron of it is Germanic, but everything I saw was ancient Germanic and Celtic traditions is where it can be traced back to.
Cool.
And Ostara is named after the Germanic goddess of Yostra, I guess. But she can also be called Ostara too. So like that's like she's got both of those names, I guess, maybe depending on which area. I didn't see anything about that. It just has them as both. And she represents
being a regional.
Yeah.
Depending on what region you're in, depends on who calls her what.
That's possible. She represents the dawn, spring, and fertility, and she's associated with the symbols of life such as eggs, rabbits, and flowers, and it is known that Easter literally comes from Ostara. It really does. Not only, like, her other spelling, like the Yostra, it's spelled Eostre, is very close to Easter. And then...
Now This is completely separate from the whole Christian celebrating of Jesus' return from death. We're entirely looking at
the symbol, like
the people that celebrate Easter as just here's your basket with colored eggs and
well, so I was looking when I was doing this research, I did see. Because, like, of course, like, it comes up as, like, the Christian version. One of the questions that I saw on Google, because, you know, whenever you search something and then it has, like, a bunch of, like, extra questions on Google that you can, like, touch down and, like, look at. One of them was, like, am I a bad Christian for celebrating Easter? Or how do I celebrate Easter and still be Christian? And, like, the answer was, like, just celebrate it as Jesus' rebirth and not the pagan stuff. But one of the things that they adopted was So how they, like, adopted the eggs and the rabbits specifically for Christianity that I read was that they dyed the eggs red to symbolize Jesus' blood and his rebirth, because egg rebirth, like, that's what they did. They put that.
I can see and that. Then
there was another reason for the, like, they had a reason for the rabbit too, but I can't remember what that was, but it had something about Jesus symbolism. Like, so they took the symbols and, like, made it their own, but, like, in this case, for Ostara, it's, like, the eggs, rabbits, and flowers are the big, you know, symbolisms of it. Like, hold on. Yeah, eggs, rabbits, seeds, and flowers are the big symbols for Ostara. Eggs symbolizing fertility, new life, and potential. Rabbits representing fertility, abundance, and life cycle. Seeds signifying growth, potential, and new beginnings. And flowers, particularly daffodils, tulips, and crocuses, symbolizing the beauty and vitality of spring. So, and that's like
first flowers that do bloom.
Yeah.
Because those are ones that'll kind of bloom up through, like, those last couple frosts.
Yep. I think it's the daffodils. We always call them Easter lilies. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure that's the daffodils. It's either the daffodils or crocuses. Are, like, what they actually are. Yeah. Well, we call them Easter lilies, and there's this huge bank of them on the road from my house to mom's. So before, whenever I was living out there, I know when spring was actually going to start, like, the weather-wise, whenever they bloomed. Like, when I saw the main part of them and I could see them about to bloom, I knew that warm weather was coming. Like, we weren't going to get any more frost. And so we're going out to my parents tonight, and I'm going to look. And if I see them, I will be so happy.
Exciting.
Because they don't bloom for very long.
No, they don't.
Like, but they're, like, the harbinger of spring for me. Like, when I see them, that is the harbinger of spring for me. And, I mean, makes sense. It is a spring symbol. Meh.
Makes sense. Don't die.
But I'm dying. But
me too. Don't worry.
Both Ostara and the spring equinox, which we're going to use interchangeably right now because it's on the same day. So we're going to use it interchangeably. It is the official beginning of spring, when nature awakens, and it's a time for balance. Because the day and night's completely equal that day. It's a time of renewal. And the, like, I lost it. I lost it.
Like, new beginnings and...
Yeah.
Starting new things.
Yeah. So I've got a couple of little activities that are traditional celebrations for Ostara.
Ooh.
Which all of them, like, honor the theme of rebirth, growth, and fertility, which is egg decorating. Again, that, you know, crossover between Ostara and Easter.
Right.
Decorating them is a very popular Ostara tradition. You can dye them in bright colors or paint them with symbols and designs to represent springtime. Which, in high school, this is, like, crazy, but in high school, my art teacher, around this time of year, every year, made us do the, like, decorate eggs. A very specific, like, this, like, the, the Fabergé eggs?
Yeah.
He made us do those where we had, like, wax. Like, melted wax.
I was gonna say, did you actually do it with the wax?
Yeah, we did melted wax. We would do the designs and dip it into dye and then do the next design and everything. And it was every year that we did it, and we would use like emptied eggshells. So we'd like pop the holes and like push the yolk and everything out. So it's just like the little tiny two holes. And we did the whole thing. And I remember doing that every year that I was in high school art, like every year. And I don't know why he made us do it. Like, unless, you know. I mean,
the whole Fabergé art style is just gorgeous, for one thing.
It's gorgeous. So he tied it into art, like, very nicely. But we always did it around the spring equinox.
And I could see being able to tie in some, like, color theory stuff with doing Fabergé, too. Because you have to make sure that you do your dye progression in the right order so that you don't get muddy colors, or like, you don't want to do your yellow sections last because you're not going to get any color then.
Yeah. It is a fun activity. Like, I really enjoyed it. I completely, like, I honestly forgot about it. Like, until a couple days ago, I was thinking about like things I did in high school for art. And I was like, oh shoot, we actually did Fabergé eggs every year. And like, I don't know what happened to mine. Like, I don't know if they just got broken like after the fact, but they were so fun to do. And he had us like make them, like the designs on them represent spring. So I think he was a secret pagan. Just making
was he a closet witch?
He was definitely growing weed in the closet, though. He was. That was like a known thing. But a couple other things.
So at least a closet pothead, if not a closet witch.
Absolutely. He was my favorite teacher, though. So like, I can't. He let me put my CDs in the CD player because, you know, that's how we listened to music when we were in high school. I didn't get my iPod
shuffle. Don't say it like that. Don't say it like that, because that makes it sound so old.
It was like 15, 16 years ago for me. So,
I know you graduated high school before I did.
Yes. I graduated in 2010. So it, like, 14 years since I graduated, but like.
You graduated my sophomore year. So I graduated 2 years later.
Oh. Yay, being old. Actually, yesterday I yawned so hard I pulled a muscle in my neck. It still hurts.
Oh.
Like, right there. Like, fun. That muscle right there. It hurts so bad. So a couple other things that you can do for Astara is feasting, as with every festival. Pretty sure that that's just a requirement to have a good feast. Specifically, celebrating the return of the earth and the abundance of earth with seasonal foods such as eggs, spring greens, and honey, which are the common ones. Honey cakes. I make honey cakes for the spring equinox. Like,
something about spring equinox always makes me want lavender lemonade.
Yes. Probably because every time we did the spring equinox back in the day, I made lavender lemonade.
That's probably it. But it was so good.
It is so good. Well, I'm going to have to make some lavender lemonade. But I also love making... So the past couple of years, I've been doing a strawberry, lemon, and lavender cake. So I do like lemon cake and strawberry cake layered on top of each other. And then I make a homemade lavender buttercream.
Oh, that sounds so good.
With like fresh strawberries chopped on top of it. It is amazing. And it's like the best spring like dessert. It's light, it's airy, and it's got that like fresh like floral and then the lemon, and it's amazing. I make it for
it doesn't sound anytime. Like it would be overly like overly sweet either.
It's not. It's really good.
It sounds really good.
It is so good. and I'm going to have to make it again this year. It is my favorite. Mm.
That now?
I love it.
Send me a slice. My...
Well, come and visit.
Just through the mail.
Like, I don't know how well that was gonna, that's going to keep.
Yeah, probably not. That's probably but also, plan. Don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, if you come out during the springtime, you tell me, and I'll make it.
Okay.
We'll have a little tea party. Like, we'll wear the gloves and the hat, too.
The fancy. The tea party. We're fancy people.
We'll do a fancy tea party. We'll make lavender tea and lavender lemonade, and we'll have lavender strawberry lemon cake
and
shortbread cookies.
Maybe stop at Goodwill and get some, like, fancy little teacups just for the occasion.
Absolutely. another activity is spring cleaning. Of course, like, you know, this, like, you're preparing for new growth. Like, the world is preparing for new growth and shedding off all that, like, grossness from winter. It's a great time to, like, go through and do the same, right?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Like, clean, declutter. My favorite thing to do is open my windows.
Yes.
And, like, let get rid some of fresh like, air
the,
in.
The winter mustiness.
Yeah. I usually also, like, this is the time, like, between the spring equinox and Beltane is the time where I, like, do a deep clean of my mattress.
Ooh.
Like,
smart.
Just do a deep clean of my mattress and, like, let it air out a little bit. Because
I just need a new mattress because my mattress is shit.
Yeah, we kind of need one too. A couple other things that you can do for Ostara or the spring equinox, you can plant seeds. It's a good time to start getting that garden ready, which symbolizes, like, the act of sowing intentions and nurturing them so they grow and blossom over time. So, like, you can make that kind of a connection. Or you can do outdoor rituals. If you want to do something, like, ritual-wise, you can do it outside. That's a good time to do it outside.
Thanks.
Honestly, like, any of the spring and summer holidays, like, I think, it, like, you should, if you're gonna do a ritual, you should do it outside. If you're really wanting to connect with the earth. But I'm really bad about going outside.
Especially because I have issues with overheating and sunlight.
Yeah.
So, especially during the summer, I'm not good at it. Like, the summer is particularly when I'm bad about walking my dog, because that's when I'll wait until almost 10 o'clock at night before I walk her.
Because it's cooler.
Exactly. And I wait until the sun is, like, sense. Set.
In
so
the
that
summertime,
I don't die.
In the summertime, we used to take morning walks. So, like, about 6:30, we'd go and take a walk because it's still cool outside.
And see, my issue is I can't wake up that early.
Yeah, right?
I don't have the energy for that.
During the school year, I struggle to get up before 6:30, right? Because I need to leave at 6:30, and I struggle. But during the during the summer, when I'm on break, I routinely wake up at 4 a.m. And it's unfair.
Oh, that's terrible.
Like, I don't need to be up. There's no reason for me to be up. But my body's like, no, we're going to wake up at 4 a.m., but we're not going to do that when you actually have work. Okay. And I bet you anything, because I have spring break here in a couple weeks, that I will
wake
up
at 4 a.m. every day.
Every day. And still go to bed at 10:30. Like.
Do you have the same issue during the, like, winter holiday break, too?
Yeah.
Love it.
All of my breaks. All of my breaks. I don't know why. Like, when I have work, I struggle to get out of bed, but when I'm on break, I can't sleep in to save my life. It is not fair. And then my husband can lay down for 5 seconds and be out. He can take a nap at any time, any place. Like, I bet you anything, when I'm done and I walk out into the living room, he's asleep. And probably has been asleep this entire time.
That wouldn't necessarily surprise me. Knowing your husband, that would not surprise me.
Sleeps all the time. That's all he does is sleep. I don't know how he manages to sleep so much.
Sleeping game.
Yep, that's him, sleeping game. The other thing that I wanted to talk about with the spring equinox specifically is a couple of different like things that you can do to really connect to the energies of spring equinox without it being like overly like ritualistic or like, I can't hear you.
For whatever reason, my mic has this thing where sometimes it picks me up and sometimes it doesn't, and I don't understand why. Love it.
Technology. Just not my thing today.
Feel that. I mean, again, I've had a headache all week, so I'm just kind of like half here. I feel like our energy is very sedate today, and I partly blame the weather.
Yeah, the weather's terrible outside. I'm so mad that it's raining.
Right.
I shouldn't be this mad, but I am. Like, I'm frustrated with it. Because, like, it's been so nice, and I was like, oh, my day's off. It's going to be nice. I can take Gray outside.
And no, I can't. Dogs for long walks. And
yep. Nope. Can't do that. Anywho's. So, the big things that we can, like, I guess how I can put this is valuable, like, the lessons that you can apply to your life with the spring equinox. The main ones would be like balance, renewal, resistance, growth, connection, and gratitude would be like those big bullet point words, I guess, that are the huge like energies that you have during the spring equinox. So when thinking about balance, it's a good time to make sure you're remembering that balance in your life, like work-life balance, solitude versus socializing, and then like your physical, mental, and emotional well-being and balancing all of that. Because I feel like a lot of the time we tend to like lose that balance at some point during the year, and then we don't think about it again. So
yeah,
like going back, especially and remembering.
I always feel like it's especially around like winter holidays when that balance is really skewed because everybody's rushing around trying to get their holiday stuff done, or there's big things going on at work, so they're making you do overtime and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up focusing really heavy on work and just let yourself become really overworked and burn out.
Absolutely. And then like with solitude and socializing, like depression in the wintertime, like you don't want to talk to anybody, and like, but you still need to be social because it can make you feel better. Like, so yeah. Like, remembering that it's okay to have solitude, but you should still try to be social sometimes because it can help you feel better a little bit. So
true.
Like, so making sure you're balancing those important aspects of your life is a good time to, like, reevaluate that this time of the year. Renewal is, like, we're wanting to really remember that this is a time for renewal, rejuvenation. And we can take inspiration from this by letting go of old stagnant patterns in our life and embrace new, fresh opportunities and growth and transformation. So like sitting back and thinking like, what in the past like few months have I been doing that has not been helping me, that's like keeping me in one place, like that I can just get rid of like what can I get rid of and like what can I bring in instead? Like what can make me grow? What's keeping me from growing and what can make me grow? Thought. Yeah. Like because
and it might not be something that you can sort of change right away. Like it could be a habit that you need to change.
Mm-hmm. Becoming aware of it's that first step.
Like, I'm well aware that most of the time when I get home from work, I end up laying down, and then I won't get up for a few hours, and I'll just lay there scrolling mindlessly.
Yep. I feel that.
So, instead of laying down and scrolling, I could read or go into the office and work on a craft or something.
Yeah.
Because it would be something that's more engaging.
Mentally. Yeah, mentally stimulating.
Instead of the mindless scrolling.
Yeah. I've actually been reading when I get home from work lately. Like, physical books. I haven't actually been able to sit down and read a physical book in so long because of Baby G. And he's letting me read physical books again. Like, he's not trying to grab at them or anything like that. So, while I'm listening to my audiobooks when I'm cleaning or when I'm driving or doing anything that like I can't be sitting to read, I'm also physically rereading the Throne of Glass series because there's just something so nice about rereading your favorite series like in hard copy rather than listening to it.
True. That is really true.
So the third one is resilience. And the equinox teaches us importance of resilience because, you know, like the earth coming out of winter and everything, it's still able to grow after the harshness of winter. And it reminds us that even in our darkest moments, there is always potential for renewal and the promise of brighter days ahead.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
The way that you'd started that just made me think of the Harry Potter quote.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I love it.
Can be found even in the darkest of times.
Yeah.
If only one remembers to turn on the light. Though I'm still peeved with Harry Potter because J.K. Rowling is such a fucking bitch.
It'll still always have a place in my heart, though. The next one is growth. And obviously, spring does symbolize growth and expansion. It is the time, it like encourages us to plant seeds of intention and nurture them with care and patience. And know that with time and effort, they'll blossom into something beautiful. And it reminds us to cultivate our dreams, aspirations, and trust in the power of growth and change. So be very open to the growth that's coming. And like in general, like winter was the time to retreat into yourself and reflect. And spring is the time to start working towards what we reflected on. So the same thing with like a new moon, which the new moon is actually like today or tomorrow, by the way. I think it's tomorrow. Yeah, it's the 10th, so tonight. It's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just like with that, you've reflected and you set an intention. And in, like, whenever you move to the waxing phases, which is, like, moving into spring, you start acting on those intentions that are meant to bring you growth. Does that make sense?
If over the course of the winter you were thinking about wanting to start working out, this is a good time for you to start doing it.
Yeah.
Actually start doing it. Or if you've kind of been considering, like, you know what, I might want to try learning this new skill. Now might be the time to look at what you would need to do to start classes for it.
Yeah. Like, this is the...
This is not sponsored by Skillshare. We are not sponsored by Skillshare.
No Skillshare here. Sorry. Sorry.
Sponsored, but yeah, like, not sponsored. Skillshare, if you want to be sponsored, we will take your money.
We'll take everyone's money. Thank you very much.
If anybody wants to sponsor us, hit us up.
At this point, I would love Sarah J. Maas to sponsor us. We talk about her books every single episode.
Hit us up.
We just want that first version of House of Flame and Shadow. We don't want the new one. We don't want the one that was published. We want the original one. We will come with pitchforks. Anyways,
if you come to us first, we will not have pitchforks.
Yes. Anyways, but like, with growth, it's planting those seeds. So it's starting that. And while spring goes through, you should be growing into that so that you can harvest the rewards for it towards the end of summer, which is, you know, the fun time. Reap the benefits.
Fun time.
Yep. The next one is connection. It is a time to remind us of the interconnectedness of living things. It encourages us to reconnect with nature because it's starting to get nice out. It's encouraging us to appreciate nature's beauty and recognize our responsibility to protect and preserve it for future generations. Jesus Christ, I cannot talk.
So this is a good time to put down your technology and go touch grass.
Touch grass, yes. Do some grounding.
Remember to touch grass.
Yeah.
Maybe a rock.
Pick up a shiny rock. So I was looking back at like our past episodes.
As I just start picking up a handful of crystals because I have a bunch of crystals on my desk.
I do too. I was looking back at past episodes because I honestly thought that we had an episode about Astara and the spring equinox already. We do not. The first, really? Like, no, really? We don't. The first one we did, I thought we did too, but the first one we did was Beltane. Well, not the first one we did, but the only spring one we did was Beltane. Which I thought was funny. I was like, I know we did. And so I was looking at the episodes, and I think the episode... Hold on.
Sworn we had done an Astara one.
We didn't. Because I was looking at them. I was like... Because I was like, we'll just like mention the
weird episode.
But we don't have one. Let's see here. The ones closest to it was when we were doing the Earth, when we were doing those Elemental series.
Oh, when we did Elements.
The one makes before. Sense why we didn't. Yeah, so the episode before. The spring equinox was our water recap, which we just kind of, you know,
we probably mentioned Astara somewhat in that, but
we probably did
lean into it heavily because I forgot that we had done Elements. Oops.
Yeah. And then the one after the spring equinox was the Earth Element intro. And we were introducing that series and talking I was talking about fey encounters and you were talking about a very magical find, which I think was a stick.
Stick. I still have my big walking stick.
Yeah, so like
I haven't done anything with it.
So we didn't actually have an episode about it. Which is funny.
That feels like a blunder on our part. How did we not?
Really? I don't know. Because we had a Yule episode. We had a Samhain episode. And everything. Like, I don't know. I don't know why we didn't. But...
Geez, to our listeners, how did we not do this?
Yeah, right. But the... the first real episode of our Earth series, which we chose Earth specifically because it was springtime. Right?
Yeah.
We that's why we chose Earth when we did. So we might have talked about it during the introduction or something. But because Earth is very connected to spring. Like if we're talking about elements, Earth and air are spring. Like those are the elements. But we do have an episode on grounding, which is that a really good way for connection with Earth. And so we do have an episode all about grounding. It is episode 24.
Do your grounding, the original go Earth. Touch grass.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I thought that was funny that we actually did not have a spring equinox or a Sara episode, but we had Beltane.
Why?
I don't know why. Anyway, the last one is gratitude. As with the autumn equinox, both of them are very much like gratitude based, because both of them is a time to think about the abundance that is that like the earth presents. In the spring, it's the abundance of the fact that the earth is waking back up. It's that gratitude of it's the gratitude that things can come back from the darkness kind of thing.
We made it through the winter. We're alive.
Yeah. Like, to appreciate like what we have that can be brought out from those like cold weather winter months. And then on the flip side, for like the autumn equinox, we have gratitude of what the earth has given us to that point and what we can take into the winter with us. So that's like, honestly, I feel like gratitude is like a big thing in most areas and seasons, like
just generally keep with you.
Yeah.
Always be grateful for what you have.
Yes. Absolutely.
And for what you're getting and all that.
Yeah. I didn't run that out
very well.
But it was great. It was beautiful. Brought me to tears.
Very poetic.
Very poetic. Much poet.
Very well.
But it's true though. Like, you gotta, but sometimes we do forget to have gratitude. We forget that gratitude can be something as simple as like being grateful that like you didn't stub your toe or something like that. You know, like it can be something small. Grateful that, you know, your husband didn't drink the last Coke in the fridge, like after a long day and you really wanted it. It's can be as simple
waking
as
up
that.
Not having slept very well and being really grateful that you have that cup of coffee.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people thinking about being grateful or having gratitude, they think that it has to be some huge thing, so they don't like actively practice
the quote-unquote gratitude. Thanksgiving mentality.
Yeah. And you don't like,
it doesn't have to be that big.
Yeah. I do this thing, it's called celebrating the small wins, and I started this years ago. I think I started it back when I first started teaching, celebrating the small wins. And like every day in my planner, I'd put one thing that I did that day that was a win. And some of those days was just getting out of bed. And yeah, like those small wins are like, it's a gratitude thing. Like, or you can do three things you did that day, like three wins. But like, even just thinking about that one little small thing that you did that you accomplished that day.
And I got that parking space that I really wanted.
Yeah. Like, it can be something big. Like, maybe you did do, like, maybe something did happen that was big. That would be a huge win for you. And that was your win for the day. But it can also be something as simple as there were two socks that were the same shape this morning, which is my problem all the time because, you know, I don't wear matching socks. And not all of our socks.
I found a matching brand.
Yes. Like, not all of our socks are from the same brand, so they fit differently, right? So
they came from the same pack.
Yeah. So when you find the socks, Yes, when you find the socks that came from the same pack, you feel good. I have a good day if I can find the socks from the same pack.
Because then it feels the same on your feet.
Yes. And you don't have, like, one that's, like, higher up than the other. Which is just, it looks ridiculous, but...
See, I'm not even thinking about how it would look ridiculous. I'm thinking about the sensory ick of it.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And, like, the same thing is, like, if you find... If you wear... And this is, like, the downside of wearing mismatched socks is that if you have one that has no patterns on it and one that does have patterns on it, it is a very different feel. And I do that sometimes because they're the only ones that are the same, like, shape.
That gives me a big ick.
Yeah, I try not to. Like, I try to, like, if I have pattern, I try to find two patterns or try to find two blanks. But sometimes you only have those clean. But, like, that's just me, though. I 100% know that that's just the me thing. And my husband thing, because we have that superstition of never wearing matching socks. So...
See, like, I'm fine with the whole not having matching colored socks. I would not be able to handle doing socks from different sets just because sensory madness. I already have a hard time with wearing socks in the first place because I don't like socks.
It used to not be a huge problem because, like, we used to have a butt ton all from the same, like, brand, I guess. And they were all, like, different things. Like, we had one pack that was Doctor Who, one pack that was Pokemon, and one pack that was, like, Dragon Ball Z. And they were all the same shape.
The same style.
Like, size, style, shape. They all, like, you could mix and match all of them without a problem.
Because they were the same brand, same type of sock.
Yeah. And so we had a bunch of them. But socks wear out. They get holes. And you have to throw them away. And we're at a point now that I've thrown away a lot of them and we're starting to reaccumulate socks. And they don't sell that brand anymore anywhere. So now we're trying to find new
My brand!
My socks. So now we're trying to find, like...
I have special feet. I need special socks.
Like, it's annoying. It's really annoying. It, like...
I feel like I'm just going off the rails with the whole whatever contact commercial that used to be.
I can't remember.
Let us know in the comments if you remember that commercial at all. My brand! Me and my wife reference it a lot, so.
Oh, I do too.
Love that.
It's the best. All right.
I'll also make reference to the more obscure old commercial. It was for one of the cell phone companies, but it was back when everybody had to text using T9.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
So it was like a girl sitting at the table texting and talking to her dad or something, and everything she said was in T9 text format. So it was like,
yeah,
IDK, my BFF gel.
Yep.
So
I remember that one.
Okay, cool. So sometimes I'll reference that.
So yeah, that's the spring equinox or Ostara.
And things that you can do to celebrate hitting spring finally.
Absolutely. I mean, like, there's also, like, you can also do rituals to honor balance, the light and the dark, day and night. If you do, like, actual rituals, not everybody does, but if you do, doing a ritual.
If you're one of those people who has their life together enough to do rituals, let us know what you do.
Do something, but, like, do something that honors that balance, like the light and dark balance, because that's what the equinox is. It's all about balance. Rituals for growth and renewal, which, like, setting intention for personal growth and transformation, that's, like, the big one.
True.
Which I think, like, excuse me. I think, honestly, going into the spring season and choosing one thing for personal growth and transformation to, like, start working on, no matter, like, how simple it is a good idea. Like, I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I am gonna do it. I still have a few days to contemplate what that intention for personal growth could be.
Fair.
And it's not going to be cut back on Red Bull because I've already done that.
Ooh.
I haven't had a Red Bull in over 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yep. And it wasn't.
How are you awake?
So, I physically can't drink Red Bull anymore.
Oh, no.
The new medication that I'm on.
Oh.
When I started it, I think this was like, I mentioned this one of our last recordings, that I felt like I was having a panic attack, but I wasn't having a panic attack. Like, I had the physical symptoms of a panic attack. That was because I was drinking Red Bull.
Mm.
With this medication.
Too much caffeine. Oh.
And like, the, because, like, this, it's Wellbutrin is what the medicine is. And,
oh, I took that one. That one sucked.
It's fine now. But, like, the only reason that they put me on a higher dose of Wellbutrin is because it also is used for ADHD. And when I talked to my doctor about putting me back on, like, Adderall or something, we talked about the fact that I have gone through every single stimulant that they have on the market, and none of them work for me, so nothing will work. So we're trying this. My body has beaten stimulants.
I tried Wellbutrin, and it gave me full days-long panic attacks.
Yeah, that's what was happening to me. It stopped after I stopped drinking caffeine. And then after 2 weeks, it stopped. Like, so I don't know if it was like it stopped after 2 weeks, or if it stopped because I stopped drinking energy drinks.
See, mine started after I had been on it for almost a month when I started getting the panic attacks.
Yeah.
And that's when I just was like, no, I can't do this anymore, and stopped taking it.
Did they up your dose?
Like, no. It was in my, like, the first month that I was, had started taking it.
Yeah.
Well, so the first couple weeks, I was fine.
Yeah.
And then
the first month of a new medication is where it, like, it's trying to get your body, like, trying to, like, get into your system properly and everything. So, like, she put me on a specific dose of it. And then here in, like, the next couple of weeks, I have another appointment with her to talk about whether we need to up it to the max, or if she needs to refer me to a therapist. Because she said that the only thing that they can do for me if this doesn't work is therapy. Because the stimulants aren't working. I beat ADHD. I win.
Are you sure that it's you, or is it that the ADHD has beaten you?
Uncertain.
Unsure.
Unsure. Either way, I have bested all of the stimulants. They cannot do anything for me anymore. Yay.
Yay.
Yeah. Because the Focalin was working, actually. Focalin was working. It was great. And then the last month I was on it, I actually stopped taking it, like, myself. Like, I was just like, I'm not going to take this anymore. Because the last month I was on it, every morning I'd throw up after I took it. It was making me vomit.
That's not good.
So I stopped taking it.
Focalin's actually what I'm currently taking.
Yeah, it was great. Like, it was great. That's what they put me on after Adderall, when Adderall stopped working. And I did Vyvanse, I did Adderall, I did Focalin.
Adderall was okay. Ritalin, it didn't make me panic, but it made my anxiety high.
Yeah.
So, like, I felt... what's the word? Like, I felt paranoid.
Yeah. Yeah. I have not tried Ritalin, but I have not heard good things about Ritalin. So... And I've also heard that if Adderall isn't working, then Ritalin won't work anyways. But yeah, Vyvanse wasn't strong enough. Adderall worked until it didn't. Meaning it worked until I maxed out the dosage. And the only other option was staying on max dosage and then having 10s of, so like 30s of the extended release. And then mm-hmm. 10s of the quick release. That was the only thing that we could do. So I would take it in the morning for the extended. And then at night, like in the evening when I got home from work, took the quick release to get me through the rest of the day. That was, and then that was working for a little bit.
Until then it didn't.
It didn't. And they did not want to up me from the 10s to the 20. Like, they just didn't want to up me anymore on that. So they switched me to the Focalin because they didn't want me taking it twice a day. Like, they're like, it's not good for you to take Adderall twice a day at that high of a dose.
Which is fair.
Which is fair. And then the Focalin worked until it started making me vomit. And it was still working other than the vomiting. Like, that was the choice I had to make. Do I have good brain?
Or do I vomit?
Or do I have fuzz brain and not vomit? I chose not vomit. So then I went for the past 2 years, almost, a year and a half, almost 2 years, without anything, and just have had fuzz brain this entire time. And then they upped the Wellbutrin to see if that would work. And I don't have fuzz brain right now. And I'm doing a little bit better focus-wise. But is it because they just upped the medication and it's new? Or is it actually helping? I don't know.
These are questions.
These are questions. And I can't take Strattera because I took it when I was a kid. That's the medication they had me on when I was a kid. And it made me sick too.
Wonderful.
It has the ADHD and we can't fix. No medicine can fix. So yeah, they said the other option, if the Wellbutrin didn't help any, was therapy. Sending me to a specialist.
Start some talk therapy.
Yep. Or cognitive therapy. Like CBT. Therapy, mm-hmm. like
that's the to other start option. Working out, like different habit is, situations to yeah. help manage keeping and you on track.
When I was a kid, I was doing that. They had me on the Strattera, and they had me doing the behavioral therapy too. So I know that, like, and I know that there's been changes, but I also went through a psychology program. Like, I know the therapies, mm-hmm. and I've tried the therapies. That's the thing. Somebody who is licensed to do so, to tell me these things, are not going to tell me anything I don't already know that I haven't already tried. So unless she has a magic wand and can bibbidi-bobbidi-boot my ADHD... I don't know what to do. Like, so I'm hoping for the Wellbutrin to actually work because I don't know what else to do. Because I have tried a lot of those therapies. And like, they work for a month and then I fall off the wagon because I can't keep a habit going.
Have you tried them recently?
Yes.
Hmm.
That's the problem. Like, and the only thing that I can manage is my planner. But even with my planner, I still forget things. And even with my planner, I'm still not 100% organized because I forget to put things in the planner.
Yeah.
Like that's, and like, I don't use it every day like I'm supposed to. Like, I haven't touched my planner in over a month, which is bad because it's supposed to help me. But I haven't touched it because I don't want to touch it because I just want to lay in bed. But that's seasonal depression.
Ooh. Feel that.
So.
The seasonal depression is real.
Yeah. So that's where my mental health is. I'm completely fucked in the head and I don't know what to do about it.
At the same time, though, aren't you roughly in your personal winter?
Oh, yeah. I'm deep in my personal winter right now.
So that's probably part of your issue right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm deep.
Because your personal spring is what, in another month?
Taurus, yep. So as we move into Aries season, it is the end of my winter. So.
Maybe. Well, when it comes to spring equinoxy type things, if you can't figure anything out before the actual equinox, you technically still have a month.
Yeah. I still have those energies happening.
Cause
I'll get there.
You're still nearing the end of your think about the things winter. Time.
Yeah. We'll get there. So, that's
time.
The big thing. Yeah, we'll get there. I think something that one thing that I haven't really I've thought about, but I haven't really looked into more when it comes to the ADHD. And the only reason I haven't looked into it more is because I wanted to see if the doctor could help me first, is doing body astrology and going really in depth with the body astrology for ADHD and my personal chart to see if working with that could help. So,
I mean, it's worth trying.
It is definitely worth trying. It is a lot, though. And that is what's been keeping me from starting it, is that it is a lot. Body astrology in general is a lot, because it's not only knowing the basics of astrology, but also understanding how it reacts to certain body parts, illnesses, and physical things in general. And I am by no means a medical person, body wise. So it's been interesting to just read a little bit about it to kind of get the basics, but to go really in depth with the ADHD and see if that could be a helpful therapy, I have not, because it is a huge undertaking. And I don't know if my ADHD would actually keep me on track, because I would have to be able to hyper-focus on this.
That's always the issue, is just, I want to do certain things, but I also, I'm not hyper-focusing on it, so I can't.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's different craft projects and shit that I just really want to do and I really want to work on, but I'm not hyper focused on them, so it's not happening.
Yeah, it is exactly where I'm at. If I were to hyper focus on it, I would know what to do. I would know it 100% if I were to hyper focus on it, but I haven't been able to get myself to hyper focus on it. And I don't know about you, but I can't force myself to hyper-focus on something. No. It just happens.
I can with certain things. If the day that I cleaned the office, I was able to force the hyper-focus to do that by planning it out in advance. So I was able to sort of have it strongly in mind of this day, I'm doing this thing. I'm taking it off work specifically to do this. This is happening. This is what I'm going to do it. This is how I'm going to go about doing it. So when that day happened, I was able to just get in there and pound it out.
Yeah.
But for crafts or whatever, no, it's not happening.
Yeah.
I can think about it and plan how to go about doing the craft until the world ends, and I still won't pick it up unless I get the hyper-focus on it.
And see, the problem with me is say I get a idea that I want to hyper-focus on, Like, I don't know if you this ever happens to you, but, like, you get an idea that you want to hyper-focus on, and you know you want to hyper-focus on it, but you're driving. And by the time you get home, you no longer want to hyper-focus on it.
Honestly, because, when that happens to me the most there. is while I'm at work.
Yeah, that too. Like, if you're
be at work and doing something and be like, ooh, I really want to work on this thing, and this is what I'm going to do for it, and these are my ideas, and this is my plan, and then I get home and I just go...
No.
Left
that at work.
I'm tired. I'm going to lie down.
Like, literally happened to me, like, yesterday, I think. Not yesterday, the day before yesterday. I wanted to hyper-focus on my book. I wanted to hyper-focus on writing my book. I had a lot of ideas. It was, like, spinning around in my head, but I was at work. By the time I got home from work, I didn't want to do shit. It was gone. Yep.
Sucks, man.
I know, like, it's fucking sucks, right? Like, I just want to, like, force myself to hyper-focus on something, but, like, I can't.
The only thing
I can force myself to hyper-focus on is reading. Like, that is the only thing I can force myself to hyper-focus on is books.
And even then, it's only sometimes.
Yeah. Like, because I can go through, like, and be, like, ravenous to read, and then I'll go through like a little period of time where I'm just like, nope, I don't want to do it. I don't even want to read. Like, I think I'm doing pretty good though, because I told myself I was going to do the full 52 Goodreads challenge, and I don't have all of them updated in my Goodreads right now, but I think I've read like 10 books already.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which has never happened for me before, so that's cool.
Look at you go.
Anyways, so that was the spring equinox, Astara.
Color Festival. Doing things to start off your year.
Energy. This is the first episode of our spring series.
The end of seasonal depression, hopefully, maybe, possibly, hopefully.
Oh god, I hope so. I hope so. But this is our first
episode. We really are bad at series. Actually, we're bad at actually staying on task when Zaya's not here.
I even had a script. That's the thing. I knew I was, that's what I was looking at the entire time. I had a script, bullet points with everything on it. I still fucked it up.
To our listeners, like, we're sorry.
We got this. We're not going to go on that many tangents.
Neither. We're glad that you joined us for today's spring nonsensical
beginning episode. Of spring episode. We will
follow us
have
on
a
all the things
we have all the things. Saya usually does all the things.
Saya does all the things. Follow us at the Witchy Spellcast on Instagram, X, TikTok, Threads.
X is Twitter, sorry.
X is Twitter.
Instagram.
Follow us on all those. Instagram.
Facebook.
You can follow us each. You can follow us each individually at The Witchy Saya, at Kara Darkthorn, at Rowan.Mysterite. Those are
only
on
Instagram.
But only on Instagram. I'm pretty sure all those are linked via the main The Witchy Spellcast Instagram. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think. Send us suggestions. All of our DMs are open to suggestions, comments, and concerns.
Yep.
Or personal, like, viewer stories. We will read out your stories if you send us stories.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, I have.
So do that. Do that thing.
I've been given stories. Give us stories. Also, if you would like to have an episode of just me and Rowan talking about books, tell
us. Oh, because
is something that you guys would actually enjoy?
We have content.
Like, we do. I have cut many a book talks out of episodes. Is that content that you guys would actually enjoy? Do we also have fantasy romance readers here?
Because I'm pretty
sure...
Or dark
fantasy romance readers.
This episode, when it goes up, it's probably only going to be maybe 45 minutes.
Roughly.
If.
Yeah.
Roughly.
But we've
been sitting here recording for over 2 hours. Most of that has been fantasy romance book related conversation. But, let us know if you would be interested in hearing that random conversation.
Yeah. Actual conversations about books.
If you are interested, maybe we'll post that one day. Who knows?
Or we'll just make a book club. I don't know. We'll do a book club.
Let us know what any of you think, and maybe we'll do something with that content.
Who knows? It's there.
Anywho.
We're bad at outros, too.
Yes, we are. Oh, my God. Saya, we are just lost in the water without you.
We really should. Listen, whenever I make the intro outro, like that actually goes into the episode, like those little with the music and everything, I read from a script.
Smart.
And I listen to it.
This is why.
And then I do it again if I don't like it. So like, eh.
We hope you enjoyed our ADHD ramblings.
Yes. Talking about spring, and we hope that you join us for the next few episodes of spring-related content. The next one will be all about spring astrology, so if you enjoyed that astrology episode last week for us, but two weeks ago,
everybody else.
And it looks like it has been, it has like more plays on it than average at this time. So, you guys must be liking it, obviously, if it has more plays than average for this length of time being up. We'll be talking in depth about the astrology of the spring, and then we're going to go into other spring-related content that I think everybody will really enjoy, because it was one of the most voted for things when we did the poll. So, catch that. It'll be exciting.
Thanks for tuning in to The Witchy Spellcast. We hope you enjoyed this mystical journey with us. If you've been bewitched by our show, don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating or review. It helps us spread the magic to more listeners. Remember, the power of the craft is always with you. Keep those cauldrons bubbling, wands at the ready, and may your spells always find their mark. Until next time, blessed be.